It is Wednesday, August 7th, and you are listening to Pink is the New Podcast by me, Trent Venegas, where I recap and comment on the past week's fun, entertainment, and gossipy news. And once again, it's just me and no music, but the joke's getting old, I know. The joke's not funny anymore, but I will make a concerted effort to make sure I get that handled. I promise. It looks like very soon I will have some free time on my hands as my current job winds down, but that's a conversation for another day. But again, I plan on putting in a little more of the tweaks into the podcast to make it sound more podcasty, even more podcasty than it already sounds. So let's get to it. All right. So last Wednesday, it was reported that Pose actress Dominique Jackson has been cast to feature in a new fashion campaign for Valentino. Dominique, as you may know, is one of the lead actresses on Pose. She kind of plays the villain, if there's a villain. She's not really a villain. She's just, her character is very bold, and she's one of my favorites. So she is the new current face of Valentino, which is pretty cool because, as you may know, there aren't a lot of trans models in the fashion industry. There are some, and trans models are making a little bit of a splash, and Dominique Jackson is among the latest to do so. So if you're a fan of Pose, you may recognize her photos if you happen to see the Valentino campaign. So check out those fashion magazines, look up at billboards or on park benches or wherever these fashion ad campaign photos are featured, and you might see one of the amazing actresses from Pose smiling back at you, holding wearing a very expensive piece of clothing. Last Wednesday, Lana Del Rey released the cover artwork for her upcoming new album, Norman Fucking Rockwell, and she also announced that the album will be released on November 30th. So, yeah, LDR fans, Lana is on her way with her new record. I mentioned in previous podcasts that she released some snippets of music, and it was revealed that she has teamed up with Ariana Grande and for the Charlie's Angels soundtrack, that she's doing new music for the soundtrack. And now we know that her next full album will be released on November 30th. So that's kind of cool. The album cover, I have to admit, isn't something that I am immediately in love with. It's you know, Lana's on a yacht, and it kind of looks like a comic book scene, like a scene from a comic book. Her album covers tend to be fairly, I guess basic is not the right word. They're simple, they're elegant. I mean, I suppose you could say they're basic. And this new album cover art is a little different from that. And I don't know that I love it. I do like the artwork that she's come up with for her previous records. So maybe that's part of where my feelings are coming from. But yeah, if you are a Lana Del Rey fan and you have not seen the cover art. It is out there on the interwebs. You can check it out and get a big red marker and circle November 30th in your calendar, because that is the day that Norman fucking Rockwell will be released. We learned last week from supermodel Shanina Shake that the Victoria's Secret fashion show has been canceled for this year. So annually, Victoria's Secret holds a fashion show that they air on TV, and it's a big production. You know, the angels strut down the runway wearing whatever Victoria's Secret has designed for the season. They have their big wings. They usually have a big pop star who performs, or pop stars who perform during the show. And it's usually a big to-do. But this year, there will be no Victoria's Secret fashion show. And Shanina was the person to break the news. So once she spilled the beans, Victoria's Secret parent company L Brands released a statement saying, quote, "We have decided to rethink the traditional Victoria's Secret fashion show. Going forward, we don't believe network television is the right fit. In 2019 and beyond, we're focusing on developing exciting and dynamic content and a new kind of event delivered to our customers on platforms that she's glued to, and in ways that will push the boundaries of fashion in the global digital age." Which sounds to me like they're putting the shit online. It will be something you can stream, or something that you can watch in Instagram stories, or something like that. So it sounds like the Victoria's Secret fashion show moving forward will be something available digitally only, maybe, and will be more accessible, like literally in your hands, on your smartphones, on your computers, as opposed to tuning in to traditional network television. Which, on the one hand, it's like, oh, you know, it probably costs too much for them to produce this show on TV. But, you know, do these shows make money on television anymore? Do people tune in to television anymore? I mean, I suppose they do, but as entertainment, and particularly television entertainment, moves forward into streaming and on-demand options, it makes sense that the state of programming will evolve along those lines as well. Until we know what Victoria's Secret's plan is for the fashion show moving forward, you know, it's anybody's guess, but it sounds to me like it's going to be an online only, perhaps a streaming network sort of thing, Netflix or something. I mean, I suppose anything's possible when you're talking about a digital platform, like the sky's basically the limit. It could be an app that you download or something, who knows. But in other Victoria's Secret news, they have named Valentina Sampaio as their first trans model. So just like Pose's Dominique Jackson, who is featuring in the new Valentino fashion campaign, Valentina Sampaio has been hired as Victoria's Secret's first trans model, which, again, speaks to the point that I made that trans models are starting to make a little bit of a splash, which is great, because diversity matters, representation matters, and trans women models are just as beautiful as cis women models are. So that's great. You know, I'm not a big fashion person, so I can't really speak with any authority about, you know, these sorts of things. But as a fan of general pop culture, and as an advocate for diversity in hiring practices where entertainment is concerned, I think this is great news. So good for Victoria's Secret, good for Valentino. All right. Last Thursday, we learned that casting for the new adaptation of Stephen King's book, The Stand, is underway or is finished, I think, at this point. The Stand is a book about, I suppose you could say it's a book about the apocalypse or the forthcoming apocalypse. It's a big, thick-ass book that I read a long time ago, and I remember it took me a long time to read that book. Yeah, when I was a teenager, I devoured every Stephen King book I could get my hands on. So, The Stand was definitely one of the books that I read back in the day. And then, I want to say in the early 90s, there was a miniseries adaptation of The Stand, which was like over 5 days on ABC or CBS or some network like that, which was decent. I mean, I liked it at the time, but now when I look back and see what it looks like now, it looks cheesy and terrible. The special effects are terrible. The wigs are terrible. But, you know, I mean, at the time when I was like a kid, like younger, I was like, this is awesome. It's like my favorite book that's being adapted. You know, as with all things, the time for another remake, reboot, revamp has come, and The Stand is being adapted into a new miniseries that will air on CBS All Access, which is CBS Network's streaming channel, subscription streaming channel. So if you want to watch this new miniseries of The Stand, you'll have to subscribe to CBS All Access. Again, like I said, the casting is underway, and James Marsden and Amber Heard are among the stars of this new version of The Stand, and Stephen King is writing a new ending for the story. So the ending that is featured in the book, it will be different from that, and if memory serves, don't quote me on this, because I'm not entirely sure, but I think some things were changed when the first miniseries was made, but I don't think as drastically as a new ending. But for this new version of The Stand, Stephen King is writing a new ending, so that's kind of exciting. So even longtime fans of The Stand story like me have something new to look forward to. Now, I don't subscribe to CBS All Access, but I will share with you that I am a fan of Star Trek Discovery, which I podcasted about, you know, early on when I started podcasting this year. And you know, it's a show that I watch, and I don't subscribe to CBS, so there you go. I suspect that that might be the case as well for The Stand, but yeah, all I know is as a fan of Stephen King's work and this story in particular, I'm fairly certain I will figure out a way to watch The Stand when it is released. So there you go. All right, we also learned last Thursday that Black Panther 2, production on Black Panther 2, pre-production is underway, and the rumor is that the villain of Black Panther 2 will be Namor the Submariner, who, if you're a fan of Marvel Comics, should be well aware of who Namor is. He's, I suppose he's like Marvel Comics' version of Aquaman. So he's like a fish dude from Atlantis who's like king of the seven seas and all of that good stuff. And I must admit, I am not that familiar with Namor. My ex-boyfriend, Eric, has always been a huge Marvel fan. And he's always been a Namor the Submariner fan. And, you know, I remember we used to joke about, like, who's better, Aquaman or Namor, because obviously I'm an Aquaman fan because I've much longer been a DC fan over Marvel, although in recent years, due to the amazing films that Marvel and Disney has put out, you know, I think that's changing. But, you know, my core favorite superheroes will forever be the Justice League, Super Friends, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Aquaman, Green Lantern, those characters. So I've always been Team Aquaman. Especially when he was, like, you know, beautiful and blonde. And then when he was cast as Jason Momoa as, like, beautiful and brown. Like, Jesus. Like, Aquaman's always got to be hot, apparently. But anyways, I digress. So, in the next Black Panther film, Namor will be the villain, which is a little bit confusing to me because I have always been under the assumption that Namor was like a hero. So maybe it's a situation where, you know, Namor is introduced into the story and initially he's a villain or he's like the antagonist to Black Panther, but ultimately they become friends and forge an alliance and he becomes a hero or something. Like, I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. If you are a Marvel fan or a Namor fan and you can enlighten me, please do. Let me know what's up. But yeah, I'm very excited to see how Black Panther 2 turns out, especially with Namor as the villain or antagonist, we should say. It is also being reported that actor Henry Golden, who starred in Crazy Rich Asians, he is rumored to play Namor in Black Panther 2. So I love it. I love it. I love that actor. And I love the idea of him starring in a major superhero film like Black Panther 2. So I'm happy with all of this news, even though I'm not really sure I understand it, nor am I well versed in the characters and their storylines overall. But that's great because as a fan of these films, I like not knowing everything and I like going in and being surprised. So like when the Ant-Man films came out, I didn't know jack diddly squat about Ant-Man. I knew of him. I knew that he existed, but I didn't know anything about, you know, his story, his backstory. I didn't even know his secret identity name, none of that. So it was such a treat to watch a major motion picture starring a major Marvel superhero, and I didn't know anything about him. So I'm very much looking forward to learning about Namor in the next Black Panther 2 film. And I have to apologize if you hear me sniffling. My allergies are really bothering me today. I was in a meeting within a stuffy room, and I suspect there's mold in the vents or something because the air conditioning was blowing on me and now my nose is running like crazy. So I apologize for all the sniffling. But those of you with allergies probably can feel me and will sympathize and forgive me, hopefully. All right, moving on. Last Thursday, a photo circulated and news came out of Russia that the German industrial metal band Rammstein decided to protest the homophobic laws and beliefs in Russia by having two of the members of the band open mouth kiss in concert, which is hilarious. So Rammstein was performing a show and they decided to speak out against the Russia's homophobia and to drive home their point. Two of the members kissed, and it's a pretty hot picture. So if you're into seeing pictures of dudes kissing, you might want to seek out the photo because it's worth checking out. I've always been a fan of Rammstein ever since they came out in the 90s. I believe the album is called Sen Sucked or something like that. It's German for something. I don't know. And their song Du Hast, You Hate, I think that's what it translates to, is like their big hit. Du Hast Mich. So I've been a Rammstein fan for a long time, and I love that they decided to protest in this way. So good on ya, guys. Last weekend, on Friday, Disneyland reintroduced the famous Main Street Electrical Parade. So those of you fans of Disney, Disneyland, Disney World may be aware of the Main Street Electrical Parade, which is one of the most famous parades in Disney history. And I believe it premiered in Disneyland in the 70s, 1977 maybe earlier, I'm not sure, but like in the 70s. And it ran for a very long time, delighting all the people who were able to see it. And then it made its way to Disney World, where it was there for many years, and it's made its way to Disneyland Tokyo, I believe. And it did come back to so it left California in the 90s maybe. It did come back recently. I want to say in the last 5 years, it came back for a limited time one summer, because I remember seeing it, and that was the first time I saw it since the 90s. So my first visit, and I may have talked about this before, my first visit to California was in 1992. I was just a youngin', and I came out to visit my sister, who was living here at the time, working at Warner Brothers. And for my spring break one year, I came to California, and I did all the touristy things, Universal Studios, and the highlight for me was Disneyland. And I distinctly remember the Main Street Electrical Parade having a huge impact on me, the music and all the floats. I think I have an album somewhere where I have my photos of the parade from back then. Anyways, so it left Disneyland in the late 90s, let's say. But then it came back again in the last 5 years. And that was the first time I'd seen it since 92. So it was really great to see it. And then it went away again. And now it's back. So it came back last Friday. It will be performed nightly, two times a night in Disneyland until September 30th. And I wanted to see it on opening weekend or its return weekend because, you know, it's one of my favorite things. So I made my way down to Disneyland to see it. That was great. On Saturday, I caught up with Animal Kingdom. So last week, I talked about my new obsession, the TNT series Animal Kingdom, which I like to describe as Sons of Anarchy on surfboards. When I talked about this last week, I talked about the fact that I just started watching it and I was obsessed with it. Since then, I have watched all the available episodes in full. I finished up on Saturday, and now I am caught up with the show. It is airing currently on TNT. It comes on Tuesday nights, and I believe there are 3 episodes left, so I'm caught up with everyone else, just like everyone else. And so that's how I spent the early part of my Saturday. And I have to tell you, I still love the series. The 4th and current season, I gotta admit, is not as strong as the earlier seasons, but it's great. Like, the story, the character development and the storyline as it's unfolding is really, really good. So I'm enjoying it, and I'm super excited for the next episode that airs, the next one that's coming up. So, yeah. So Animal Kingdom, people, get on it. I love it. I highly recommend it. Catch up. Let's talk about it. If you watch it, let's talk about it. Yeah. So that's what I did. After I finished watching Animal Kingdom, I started watching on Amazon Prime the new series, The Boys, which all of my friends have been raving about. They love it. They think it's great, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, great, that's going to watch next. And, I can't say that I love it. I like it, kind of. So, without spoiling anything, the general gist of The Boys is it's about the world we live in with superheroes, like people who have superhero abilities, and what it would be like if they existed in our real world. And as we know, in our real world, things are not as altruistic or as pure as they appear in comic books or in movies or on TV. So this series focuses on a set of superheroes and their real human foibles, their flaws, their, you know, they're not all good guys, that kind of thing. So that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil anything else. And while I appreciate the idea I appreciate what they're going for. I feel like there's something lacking in the execution. The story just seems too on the nose for me, and every single revelation about these heroes, quote unquote, is not a surprise to me. I could see it coming a mile away. And I don't know, I just feel like the writing isn't super strong. I don't really care about any of the characters, and that is not a good sign for me really loving a series. Like, I will stick with the series and watch it ravenously if the writing is really good and the acting is really good and I really care about the characters. Like, for Animal Kingdom, for example, I loved everyone immediately. I loved every character from the first episode. And as the story unfolded, I was surprised. I was shocked. I was really entertained from episode to episode. And, you know, I'm like 5 episodes into The Boys and I'm just like, it's okay. So I'm going to stick with it. You know, I'm going to stick with it. I'll probably finish it. Someone told me that it gets better. You know, I mentioned this on Facebook. I'm like, I'm not really loving this. And they're like, it gets better. Stick with it. So I'm going to stick with it and we'll see. But yeah, so that's what I did. I started watching The Boys. If this sounds interesting to you, you check it out. You let me know. If you already love it, let's talk about it. If it's something you want to start watching with me and we can, I don't know, complain about it, let me know. So yeah, The Boys. On Sunday is usually the day that I like to go to Disneyland. Now, this is not a secret. I've been doing this for many, many years. Sunday fun day is Disneyland day, usually. But because I made my way down to Disneyland on Saturday to see the Main Street Electrical Parade, and because I had plans on Sunday, I already decided that I wasn't going to go to Disneyland last Sunday. And wouldn't you know it? Our dear Britney Spears and her boys made their way to Disneyland and spent the day at Disneyland. So it was another day at Disney where Britney was and I was not. Now, she's done this before. I'm not going to say Britney's doing this on purpose. I'm not going to say she's avoiding me. But there have been other days where Britney has been at Disneyland and I was not. And considering how often I go, granted, I don't go as often as a lot of people, and I know people think I'm crazy. A lot of people think that I go a lot. They think that I go too much. They think that I'm obsessed or whatever. Trust me, there are people who go a lot more than I do. So yeah, I go a lot, but I don't go like all the time, which is plainly obvious because when I don't go, Britney Spears goes. So there you go. I saw some of the photos and they're really cute. Britney and her boys and her entourage. Well, not even entourage. She has, like, security to keep crazy people like me away from her. So Britney was at Disneyland last Sunday looking great, looking happy, which is great, great news. Also, on Sunday, Netflix announced that they are adapting the video game Resident Evil into a new series. Now, Resident Evil has previously been adapted into films, feature films, starring Mila Jovovich, and I'm a fan of many of those early films. There's like 6 of them, I want to say, but like the first 3 are pretty good, the rest are not, so I want to confess, but Resident Evil, I'm a fan of the video game, and I really think that in Netflix's hands, Resident Evil as a series could be really, really cool. So that's coming. If you're a Resident Evil fan, keep an eye out. I will keep an eye and ear out for news about this new series. So stay tuned. And then I mentioned that I had plans on Sunday, which is why I couldn't go to Disneyland and why I miss seeing Britney Spears there. But my friends Joe and Reed invited me to their home for a pool party, and they've invited me to quite a few pool parties and parties at their home in general. And, you know, for whatever reason, I've been working or had other plans and I've never been able to make it. So when Joe invited me to this one, I made it a concerted effort to go because, you know, I wanted to go hang out. I wanted to see them and I wanted to play with them in their pool. And I went and it was really great. I got to meet some of their friends, made some new friends. It was super chill in their beautiful home, and it was a really, really great day. So my weekend was a nice, relaxing one of, you know, I always try to pack in as much fun as I can because it's kind of what I do. And so I got to play in Disney a little bit and then hang out with some new friends in a amazing pool, which is such an LA thing. And as you know, I mean, or you may or may not know, I'm not a big pool party person. You know, especially, I've been very generously invited to, you know, a lot of gay pool parties here in LA, West Hollywood, but it's not really my scene. I'm not, you know, I don't have abs, I don't have pecs, I'm not, like, super ripped, you know, I don't really wear Speedos, and, LA gay pool parties, that's kind of what you get. You kind of get, like, hordes of hot men standing around not eating, but drinking, and just looking hot in pools. So pool parties aren't usually my thing, but I'm glad I went to Joe and Reed's to enjoy their party. It was really super fun, and I'm really glad I went. So yeah, that was my weekend. It was a fun one. On Monday, Heidi Klum shared the first photos from her wedding. So as you may recall, a few podcasts ago, I shared with you the news that Heidi and Tom, her boyfriend, had gotten married. And it turns out that they got married back in February and they kept it a secret all these many months. But this last weekend, Heidi and Tom made their way to Capri, Italy and got married? I don't know. So they had a ceremony. So my guess is they got married in a private, you know, elopement, let's call it, back in February. And then they decided to finally have a huge or a bigger wedding where they could invite family, friends, and members of the press, the paparazzi. And that happened in Capri, Italy on Saturday. And on Monday, Heidi shared the first photos on her official Instagram. And she looked beautiful. It looked like a great wedding. You know, I'm very happy for her and Tom, one of the singers or one of the band members from Tokyo Hotel, Kurlitz. I think his last name is Tom Kurlitz. So that's super, super cool that she and her husband got married on a yacht in Capri. I mean, like, hello, it's Heidi Klum, super rich, super famous. Of course, they had a fabulous wedding. So if you are interested in checking out the photos, you can head to Heidi's official Instagram. Or, you know, hit up the message boards or just Google Heidi Klum wedding and you'll probably see some of the less cool looking paparazzi photos. So yeah, Heidi's married for real. And she has the wedding photos to prove it. On Monday, we learned that the state of Minnesota has arrested and charged R. Kelly with 2 sex crimes. So, you know, R. Kelly has had a notorious history of engaging in questionable and allegedly illegal activities with underage women, and Minnesota is now charging and prosecuting him for 2 of those crimes. Robert Sylvester Kennedy was booked and mugshotted and all of that in Minnesota. And he has been charged with engaging in prostitution with a person under the age of 18. So that's a federal crime. And I don't remember reading or hearing that he was released on bond. I wouldn't be surprised because he has been arrested before and released before. He's never been convicted, so that's important to point out. But this time Minnesota has him. They may still have him, and we will have to wait and see how things turn out. But you know, I'm never super comfortable with being like, he's guilty, you know, but you know, you can't help but feel that sometimes. You know, so we'll have to wait and see if R. Kelly will be convicted of these crimes. But we do know that he has more charges laid on top of him. So there you go. On Monday, actress Zoe Kravitz, this is so cute, she shared a photo on her official Instagram that was taken with Britney Spears on the set of the photo shoot for Britney's second album, Oops, I Did It Again. So if you've seen this photo and it's so cute, please go look for this photo. If you want to pause this right now and go search for it, or, you know, just go see it after you finish listening, you have to see this photo, like today. Today, right now, within moments of you hearing this news from me, you have to go see this photo. It's super cute. Now, I have to warn you, it's super blurry. Like, it's a weird photo. Like, it probably was taken on a digital camera. You know, Britney's posing, so it wasn't taken, like, clandestinely or anything, or secretly. It was, you know, it's just a really badly blurry photo. But it's very, very clearly Britney with her arm around Zoe. And they're on the set of the cover shoot for Oops, I Did It Again. It's a fantastic fucking photo, like one of the best TBTs of all time, even though she shared it on Monday. So yeah, that is cool. Go check it out. I love it. If it wasn't like super blurry, I probably would have saved it on my phone and made it my wallpaper, but I'm too anal retentive to have like a blurry photo like that on my phone as a wallpaper. But I am not too anal retentive to say don't see it because the quality is so bad. Go see this photo. It's super cute. Little tiny Zoe with, you know, Britney, teenage Britney, posing, you know, in front of the backdrop of the Oops, I Did It Again album cover. So yeah, awesome. Go check it out. It's great. Okay. We also learned, okay. So, I want to say a couple podcasts ago, I talked about the fact that the live action version of Disney's The Little Mermaid is being made. And, you know, there's all this talk about the fact that a black actress was cast as Ariel and all of that. So The Little Mermaid, the musical, is going to be aired on television. So as you may know, in recent years, network television networks like ABC, CBS, and NBC have started producing musicals that they air on television. And The Little Mermaid is the one that ABC is going to do this year. And they have cast the woman who voiced Moana in the Moana film. So her name is, now please forgive me if I do not pronounce this correctly, because my Hawaiian is not great. I believe her name is Hawaiian. Her name is Auli'i Cravalho. Auli'i Cravalho. She is the voice of Moana. So if you see Moana, she's the woman who voices Moana. She has been cast to play Ariel in the live musical version of The Little Mermaid, which will air on ABC later this year. And then later that day, it was revealed that Queen Latifah has been cast to play Ursula in the live musical version of The Little Mermaid. And then, as well, it was also announced that Shaggy, the rapper, the reggae rapper Shaggy, has been cast to play Sebastian. So, The Little Mermaid, the musical, is being adapted for ABC, or on ABC by Disney, and the woman who voiced Moana, Queen Latifah, and Shaggy have been cast, and it will probably look like the musical does, or did, when it was on Broadway. The Little Mermaid is one of the few Disney musicals that I have never seen in person. I know. I've seen most, if not all, of the other ones. I've seen Newsies. I've seen Beauty and the Beast. I've seen Mary Poppins. Obviously, I've seen The Lion King multiple times. But for whatever reason, I saw Aladdin. I loved Aladdin. I did not see The Little Mermaid. So, but there are puppet aspects of The Little Mermaid musical. I think Sebastian is a puppet, and the character, the actor, you know, moves around with the puppet in front of him, and he does the voice. That's probably what Shaggy will do. So So yes, more Little Mermaid to come. So not only do we have the live action version of the film to look forward to, we have the live musical version to look forward to. And the musical will come out sooner than the movie. So the musical will be out on November 5th. So yeah, definitely I'm excited for this. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited for more casting news, for production photos. They'll probably release promo photos in the coming months. So yeah, so keep an eye out for that as well. Little Mermaid is having, you know, she's having a moment. She's back. It's great. Ariel, love it. Under the Sea. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. So Taylor Swift's new record, Lover, is coming out very soon. This month, I think? I don't have the date in front of me, but Taylor Swift's new record is coming out very soon. And as she does before the release of new albums, she hosted she hosts events in her home or at venues where she invites a select number of fans to hear the record in full, you know, with the promise that they won't talk about it and they won't blah, 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 blah. But of course you invite fans to these sorts of things so they talk about it, so rumors can, you know, so the buzz can build for the release of a new record. It's genius. So over the weekend, Taylor hosted one of her, I forget what she calls them. She calls them something. Her listening parties. She hosted one for her new record, and one of the fans who was in attendance, who reportedly claimed, I want to say, you know, there's no official confirmation, so this is not official, but a fan who claims to have been in attendance tweeted that one of the songs that they heard is a song that also features Katy Perry. And not long after that tweet was posted, it was deleted, and no one has since claimed that this Taylor and Katy collab exists in any official capacity. So, you know, that tweet that has been deleted was enough of a spark to ignite Taylor Swift fans and Katy Perry fans and just pop music fans in general about the possibility that Taylor and Katy not only have collaborated on a song, but that it will feature on either Taylor's new record or Katy's new record or something. You know, there, you know, Katy is also teasing new music, and there is there's new rumors going around that it might be a Katy song that Taylor appears on, and that might be come out this Friday or something. Who knows? But we are now hearing rumblings that Katy and Taylor may appear on a song together, and we may hear it very soon, and that's kind of cool, especially considering the fact that they once were enemies, and then they made up recently, and now they're friends. I don't really want to say they're besties, because that doesn't sound right, but they're friends, or friendly at least, and hopefully soon they'll be collaborators and co-performers on a single song that hopefully we'll hear soon, so we shall see. The Sun tabloid magazine in London is reporting that Destiny's Child will be reuniting. The report states that Beyonce reached out to Kelly and Michelle, and that a Destiny's Child reunion is in the works. The Sun is the only, as far as I know, is the only news outlet that's reporting this rumor. So take it with a huge grain of salt. The Sun isn't really known for their facts, but, you know, as even a broken clock is right two times a day, they sometimes get it right. And it is possible, I suppose, in the realm of possibility, that they are correct that Destiny's Child is reuniting. So who knows? I don't really have full confidence in this rumor, but I'm sharing it with all of you because I like to share. So there you have it. Will Destiny's Child reunite? We shall see. If they do, you can say you heard it from me, who heard it from the Sun. And if they don't reunite, you can say, well, Trent did say that the Sun isn't always right. So either way, there you have it. That's the news. I'm sorry, that's the gossip. Make of it what you will. On Monday night, Mariah Carey shared a couple of cute photos on her official Instagram profile, and she's posing with the Honorable Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton, and in her caption, Mariah refers to Hillary as the president, and she refers to Bill Clinton as her husband. So she says something like, "It's an honor to be here with the president and her husband," which I just love entirely, because we all know. Well, I'm not even going to go down that road. We all know what we know about that. But I will just, I just want to point this out because, you know, I love Mariah. I love Hillary, of course, and I love this caption. So Mariah Carey is a Hillary Rodham Clinton fan, and that makes me love her even more. So if you haven't seen this photo, go to Mariah Carey's official Instagram and check it out. I believe it's on her Facebook as well. And, it's on mine as well. I reposted the photo and the caption because it gave me life. And, yeah, so there you go. On Tuesday, it was reported that Barneys New York, the fancy luxury retailer, has filed for bankruptcy, which is crazy because Barneys is one of the biggest, you know, high-end luxury brand stores, and they're going bankrupt. As far as I know, the big Barney store in Beverly Hills is staying open, and I would not be surprised if the Barney's flagship store in New York stays open, but all of their other stores are closing, and the company itself has filed for bankruptcy. So that kind of sucks, but, you know, whatever. I have shopped at Barney's, and I still have amazing pieces that I've gotten from Barney's, so I'm kind of sad that the store is going away, but, you know, what are you going to do? These things happen. I suppose it would be appropriate to give Barney's New York a hearty peace the spork out. Thanks for the memories. Sorry to see you go. And finally, getting back to Lana Del Rey again, on Tuesday, she shared a portion of a new song, which she is titled Looking for America, which is about mass shootings here in the United States. I definitely try to keep my entertainment reporting upbeat and fun, but over the weekend, there was a mass shooting in El Paso that killed at least 20 people and injured many, many more. And less than 24 hours later, like mere hours after that happened, another mass shooting took place in Dayton, Ohio, where people were killed. And in the wake of that horrible news, Lana felt compelled to share her new song, which will, I believe, appear on her new record, Norman Fucking Rockwell. And when she released the song on Instagram, it came with a long caption where she says something like, "I'm not a politician, so forgive me for having an opinion," which is ridiculous to me because, first of all, you don't have to be a politician to comment on these kinds of things, nor do you have to be a politician to have an opinion on political matters. And then when we're talking about mass shootings, I believe it is the duty of every single living person to rail against this crazy madness that has engulfed us. And again, I'm even hesitant to refer to these things as craziness or madness. It is calculated, it is terrorism, and it is perpetrated by white men in this country. But again, I'm not really going to go down that road and go off on a tangent, but these shootings were enough to compel Lana to share this song. Looking for America is what it is titled. I urge you to check it out, to listen to it, to take it to heart. You know, Madonna released God Control, which is her, you know, song on the gun control issue. And when things get bad in societies, it is up to artists to take up the mantle of advocacy and speaking out against these sorts of things, protest songs and that sort of thing. So I applaud Lana for, even though she's quote unquote not a politician, that she is using her voice and her platform to speak out. Kacey Musgraves, who is very famously a country pop star, and as we all know, country fans predominantly are very pro-gun, pro-conservative, pro-NRA, and for someone like Kacey Musgraves to speak out against, you know, the gun violence in this country says a lot, because she's willing to risk her, you know, her livelihood by potentially losing fans by speaking out against, you know, these horrible atrocities that are happening in our country. Speaking out in protest of war and conservatism destroyed the careers of the Dixie Chicks back in the early 2000s. So it is no small thing for an artist to speak out on a public platform on things like this. So I applaud them when they do. So love to the Dixie Chicks, love to Kacey Musgraves, and love to Lana Del Rey, love to Madonna, love to all these artists who are speaking out. So go check out that song. And that's all I got. That's all I got for you this week. Yeah, it was another decent week. Fairly decent news, you know, nothing super earth-shattering, but definitely stuff worth talking about. And here we are. We've got the first week of August already under our belts, which is crazy. Summer is practically over. It's practically Halloween, which means it's practically New Year's, which means it's practically 2030. So time is flying by. I hope you are taking time to enjoy it. I hope you're having a lovely summer. I hope you had a great week. I hope you have an amazing week to come. And I hope you will all meet me back here in the same spot, same bat time, same bat channel for another week of Pink is a New Podcast fun. So until then, take care. I love you all. Thank you for listening. And I will talk to you soon. Bye.